Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Ray, every single player has to answer basically two questions before their career can be framed or deemed valuable, or, you know, what level of value it's got to you. First question is simply this. Can you play? Can you play? The NBA says that guy don't belong here all the time. So just because you're drafted in this league doesn't mean you can play in this league. We've seen that with our own two eyes. And then if you do answer that first question with a yes, yes, I can play, then the question becomes, do you fit? Do you fit the situation you're in? Do you fit the style that the team that drafted you is playing you actually goes out and plays? And I think we definitively know that James Wiseman did not fit the Warriors' style. That is evident. What is not evident yet is, can he actually play? I don't know. I really don't know if he can play or not. I see someone who's got, should be able to play in this league, just written all over his physical measurables. He's big for an NBA player. Like, that's how big he is. And it should work. Conceptually, it should work. But I remember us talking about the first game back in the summer league. He only grabbed like 2 rebounds. And I was just like, how are you only going to get 2 rebounds when you're a 7-footer? Draymond even called us out on the podcast. Got to look that up. Go, Grady, find me that. Find me Draymond Green telling me that I don't know about James Wiseman. Because my radar started pinging on this guy just not having that dog in him, man. Not having that. I mean, here's the thing. I'm not a hater. There's someone here on the text line saying, Damon, I'm so glad the Wiseman hater got his way, his wish. I didn't hate him. I just hate all big men who don't rebound. It's a universal hatred, Ray. It wasn't specifically a James Wiseman. If you were 7 feet tall and didn't get a rebound, I'd hate you too.
It depends on what position I'm playing. If they put me on the wing,
you still get rebounds.
As some 7-footers get put out on the wing, nobody yells about Brook Lopez not getting rebounds. It depends on how you're used. How the Warriors intended to use Wiseman, though, required rebounding. So it's not like, you know, it's not universal, but it's expected. And it's especially expected on this team, where they don't really expect the post guy to score much or to have the ball much. But he should be able to chase down a ball.
By the way, you want to know why no one complains about Brook Lopez getting rebounds? It's because he gets rebounds. He gets 6.5 a night.
For a 7-footer, that's a low number. But the
for
way
a 7-footer on the
him,
perimeter, that's fine.
But that's what I'm saying. For a 7-footer on the perimeter, 6 is very good. But there are other 7-footers who play on the perimeter who don't get very many rebounds because they're not asked to.
Yeah, well, they suck too.
Okay, fair enough.
With all the long rebounds that are coming off the rim, just put your hands up and come down with a board. Longer rebounds are easier now than ever before.
Oh, they're just more plentiful.
So that means there should be more of an opportunity for a 7-footer out on the perimeter.
But that means there's also...
Get me a rebound if you're big in the NBA. Full stop. Don't play basketball if you're big and can't rebound. I hate you if you do. I went to Indiana. I know what the hell I'm talking about here. Don't argue with me about rebounding big men. Draymond tried.
Just happy to see him out there doing what he loves to do again and having the opportunity to play basketball. I know there was a lot of talk around the first game, like, oh, he had 2 rebounds. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, that's the first thing I looked at, too. Like, Wise, you can't have 2 rebounds. But for those of you out there who's just going to criticize and don't know, I saw the guy from the Rattle, Damon Rattle.
Yeah, you know the
show
name.
In the Bay,
you know
think,
the name, you know
like
the
that.
Station.
Dude, Damon.
Listen.
Like, you come out and you want to talk about Chet Holmgren is light years ahead of James Wiseman right now. Whatever you said, made that statement. Let me help you out. Rebounding is a timing thing. You know, rebounding is not just I'm tall, I'm long, I can jump, I'm athletic. Rebounding is timing. And for someone that has not played basketball since 2018, I know you wouldn't understand, but your timing is probably messed up. Because that's 4 years and some change of not consistently playing basketball. So those that has done this will understand that that is 100% a timing thing. Like I said, again, I would never excuse James Wiseman having 2 rebounds, nor do I think James Wiseman would excuse it. But I am also, and as someone who's done this at this level, who continues to do this at this level, I do understand that rebounding is. Obviously, you got to have a knack for the ball. You got to do the proper things in boxing out. Coach Rizzo, she used to teach us hit, find, and fetch. Go hit your man, find the ball, then go get it. Yeah, all of those things. And who wants the ball more? It's all of those things. But equally as important, if not the most important, is your timing.
Okay. So it's amazing how he completely agreed with me. It's the first thing he noticed is the incomplete two, but then wanted to have a little, well, you didn't play, so you don't know. And I appreciate that. I'm going to tell you right now, timing for a 7-footer, Ray, isn't the difference between 0 and 2 rebounds. It's a difference between 8 and 15 rebounds. Physical stature is a difference maker on a basketball court in the rebounding category. And he needed to be better. He has to be better. And he wasn't. What's the name of that show? Please. You guys speak like I speak. You use the phrases that only I have put into the Bay Area lexicon. You're listening to this show right now. Here's more from Draymond.
To try to make it a thing and like compare these two guys after, and this kid's been out for 4 years, ridiculous. Also, you can't judge who's better off a summer league game. So let's stop the foolishness. It's ridiculous. Welcome back, James Wiseman. Happy to have you back on your thing.
Hey, I'm sure they were. But then they realized that that thing that he wasn't doing enough was probably going to be a reason to move on. And they did. And part of the reason to move on, Ray, is he's always a MASH unit. It's one thing to maybe not be able to play here. It's another thing to constantly be a level of unavailable. Here's what I honestly believe about James Wiseman, because he was drafted as a project, right? They knew that it was going to take time. The reason why they gave up is because his body started giving up on him. I really, truly believe that if he had lived an injury-free career to this point, they would not have traded him.
Well, presumably he would have had more time to absorb what they were trying to teach him, because I don't think he was refusing to learn. I think it was they were asking him to do something that was outside his experience, and he struggled with that because when you're a rookie, especially on a bad team, which is the one he broke in with, you're trying to make an impression, and your instinct is to try to make that impression with the stuff you already know how to do. And they wanted him to do stuff that he either didn't know how to do or hadn't done enough of. So I think he had that sort of battle inside his own head. And it only got worse after the injury because the window to show yourself became shorter. And then the next thing that happened was they got good again in a hurry when they didn't really figure to be. Last year was supposed to be a transition year, and that maybe this might be the year that they would win it. But they screwed up and won a year ahead of time and didn't have a lot of time to, you know, ease him into the lineup more often. They were trying to win games. And between the timing, between his own shortcomings, between the specifics of what they required of him, it all broke down. So in the end, I mean, will he be better off in Detroit? I guess in terms of numbers and minutes, I don't know that that's going to translate into a useful 30-minute a game player, because there are guys who go to bad teams and do well, and then when you ask them to be part of a winner, they don't do it as well. So, I mean, the book is still wide open on
right. him. We don't know what he is. He continues to very much earn the nickname I gave him. He's the big rumor. We don't know what James Wiseman's going to be. The Warriors just traded him, not even knowing what his future is really going to look like. I just, in my mind, he's closer to a career in Greece or China or Turkey or, you know, somewhere overseas than he is an NBA second contract. I mean, I hope I'm wrong. He seems like a really nice guy. Everybody that has dealt with him says that's a really nice young man. We like James Wiseman. That's great. I don't dislike James Wiseman as a person. As a basketball player, he might not be an NBA player, which for someone that size is, you know, a hard pill to swallow. But he has been reported as not that guy, not wired to be that guy since high school. And he is yet to show that that reporting on his wiring is the wrong part of that. Let's see. You're going to tell me he gets to Detroit and he's an absolute dog. He's pulling down 20 rebounds his first night there because he's unsettled with the Warriors' motion offense?
That's not going to happen.
I don't think so either.
I mean, there's a reason why Detroit has the worst record in basketball. They're not very good at a lot of things. And you only get to be better as a player when you're surrounded by better players. And right now, because Detroit's awful and they're trying to get into the Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes, and because they are injury set ravaged, he's probably not going to learn a whole lot this year. He'll get minutes just because they want to see what his physical attributes are. They'll put more on him next year if it looks like they're going to be able to make a move toward the play-in tournament. But for right now, these are like G League games for him. They're just going to say, you're getting 28 minutes a game. See what you can do with them. I don't think they're going to put a lot on him because there's not a lot to put on a team that's got 12 wins.
Again, there shouldn't have been that much to put on him, though, even with the Golden State Warriors. I mean, yeah, the team's got big aspirations, but he had two things he needed to do. To rebound, protect the rim. That's it. It's all you need to do. The rest of the stuff, just figure it all out as it's happening around you. You know, put your hand up, go into the low block, turn around, drop step, dunk it. Just do that. And they couldn't get that out of him. Could not get that out of him. Couldn't even be the poor man's JaVale McGee.
Turns out it was the rich man's JaVale McGee.
Yeah.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.